clean slate. What we're going to be talking about. This little book here, my wife gave this to me, and I think we've been talking on Wednesday nights about having a kind of a, like a, not necessarily a journal, but just something you can write down the special things that happen in your life. So this, even though it's approaching March, this is the first entry in my journal. It's, you know, I look for things that are very important and special and how things come together. But I wanted to share something. Pastor Charlie, are you aware of how beautiful this day is out here?
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Isn't it? It's one of those golf days. Wouldn't you say?
How long are you going to be preaching, man?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
And he just walked into that one. Oh. Because there's this associate pastor relationship with a pastor. And think about this on a day like today, when an associate pastor is asked to preach. Sometimes the pastor comes to the associate pastor and says, "Brother, I'm a little under the weather today. I need you to preach." And so I said, "Well, not a problem. I'll be glad to do that." And then as I go away to prepare, of course, I've always got a sermon in the weeds. The pastor slips away, gets into his car, and drives 40 miles away to a golf course. He knows that he's going to be the only one on the golf course because it's Sunday. And he also knows that he won't run into anybody from the church. So he's out there and he's teed up and he's getting ready and he's looking at the sunshine and it's just a wonderful day. And what do you suppose? St. Peter looks down and says, "Lord, you going to let him get away with this?" And the Lord says, "Oh, I guess not." So the pastor tees up and he lets it rip. 455 yards it goes. Drops just short of the cup. Twinkles a little bit around the edge and then plump into the cup he goes. St. Peter says, "Lord, why'd you let him do that?" And the Lord says, "Oh, Peter, who's he going to tell?" Now, that would never happen to Pastor Charlie. And I'm proving that because he is right here with me. Even though it's a gorgeous golf day. A clean slate. I want to read something to you. Shelby Foote is a Civil War historian. He was. He died in 2006. Passed on to the Lord. This is what Shelby Foote said that just kind of captured me yesterday. I'm always open when you've got, you can have a sermon all down the way you want it, and then the Lord will throw things into it as you walk through the week.
Amen.
And that's precisely what the Lord's been doing. Yesterday, he threw this in here, and I knew I had my first entry. "I think that everything you do helps you to write if you're a writer. Adversity and success both contribute largely to making you what you are. If you don't experience either of those, you're being deprived of something." Adversity on one side of the coin and success on the other side of the coin. In Psalms 51:10, "Create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Think about that. Create in me a new heart, O God, and a right spirit within me. A right spirit. We can have right spirits and wrong spirits. Create a right spirit. A clean slate. How many of you in here have clean blackboards? Come on. I want to see hands. Clean blackboards. I've also written on a few blackboards when I after school, you know. I will not talk in class 500 times. That's a true story. Nobody else? Bob?
I was just explaining to her I'm not raising my hand because the only time you clean a blackboard is when you're bad in class.
Well, that's not the way it was in Burbank. That's not the way it was in Burbank school. Burbank school, I was in the fourth grade, and man, I loved it. I loved it. Miss Hill, please call on me. I want to go out and clap those erasers. Take all those erasers and get them all clean. You come back in and you clean that blackboard off, and it just is, that slate is so dark and beautiful. No chalk on it. No, I wasn't the teacher's pet. That belonged to some other fellow that was another sermon. But I did dearly like to do that job. I love that clean slate. How do you get a clean slate? How do you start over? How do you do that? Anybody have any ideas? One of the things that's amazed me in my life, as Shelby Foote says, you have the success side and you have the adversity. If you don't have adversity or success in your life, one of the two, boy, you're missing something in life. Now, some of us have more success in life than others. Sister Ruby over there, as she says in her on Wednesday nights and in the Sunday school, she has had blessings galore in her life. God has just lined her up for blessings. The adversity, on the other hand, has always been in my court. Adversity. And Shelby Foote says, you've got to have one or the other, or you're missing something in life. Why is that? You're either being blessed or you're learning. That's basically where it's at, folks. You're either being blessed or you're learning. So how do you start over? First, you have to really just start, don't you? Really? Don't you have to start? In my life, I started 9 years old. I became a Christian, a young Christian. One of the problems that happens with a young Christian is that you're too young to fathom the depth of what Christ did for you on the cross. You understand the family, and you don't want to be without that family. You want to be a part of that family. But the world, to a 9-year-old Christian, is still the world. It's out there with all its glitter and its gleam. And what it does to you is it forces you to take a look at both sides of the coin of your life. In my life, one of the things, and if you know me, I always like to take things to the functionality of the Bible. Because the Bible is meant to teach us, and then we're meant to employ what we've been taught into life. Simple as that. So if we're going to clean that blackboard, we do that with the blood of Christ. Amen? But let me tell you a story about a 14-year-old, 15-year-old, who learned the trumpet way too fast as a 12-year-old and got kind of good on it. And so good that when he was in the fourth grade, he was marching with the high school band in Millbury, Massachusetts. They had a hard time finding a uniform that would fit me. There were three others that were in the sixth grade and the fifth grade. Because Millbury was a small town, but you had to have a band. So you pulled from wherever you did, and the band director knew that he was growing the band for the future. What he didn't know, though, is things happen with military families, and I got sent back down to Texas. And at 14 years old, I began playing the trumpet in Paris, Texas, in the junior high school. Then I got sent down to Houston, where in San Jacinto High School, there was a trumpet there for me to play. Then I bought a trumpet Then I began to play more, and at 16 years old, I was already out in the streets and on the stages and in the clubs playing. And I began to be infiltrated and attacked by the adversity of this life that we live in. Adversity doesn't have to be bad. It can be good. It can be a good thing. But I want to share with you, all during all of those trials that I went through, just like many of you, and I want you to focus on something in your life that you can relate to, just like I'm relating this story to you. It's so vitally important that we grasp what life truly is about. It's about Him and what He does in our lives. So it was never about me playing the trumpet. And an example of that, in this one club in Houston, Texas, called the Cellar Club. Drastic place. This was in the late 60s. Middle to late 60s. What do you have? You've got runaway teens. You've got leftovers. And you've got the Janis Joplin era. You've got drugs. You've got everything out there. And in the Cellar, it was quite a unique place. A musician would go in there, and the waitresses in that place at that time, and that's what they called them, not servers, but waitresses, they wore their underwear. So that gives you an idea of the adversity that the world can bring at a young Christian of 16 years old. I continued to grow up in that environment to where the trumpet became the stage. But there was something else that I did not fit the environment very well. I truly didn't. And it was shown to me one morning at about 4:15 when we had finished the fourth set. Terry Lee, you know about 4:15 when there's a fourth set. You know you're probably in the wrong place. Jennifer, you're smiling. You've been a fourth set. All I can tell you, folks, is that the little lady that was sitting in front of me, she's probably about 22 years old. She was a beautiful girl, married to the fellow that kind of was the operations guy for the Cellar. He ran the place. Of course, there was the main owner who pocketed all the money. But he ran the place as kind of like the operations person. And the girl pranced around all day long in her underwear, or all night long in her underwear. And she's quite pleasant to look at for a 16-year-old, 17-year-old, because I worked at the Cellar in the evenings until 4 o'clock on Friday nights and on Saturday nights, and Sunday was a tough Sunday morning, but I went to church. One morning at 4:15, I still remember her name, Carrie. Was her name. She was getting ready to go out by herself at 4:15 and walk to her car. She's got all her stuff and she's now dressed. And I sat there and I said, Carrie, you need somebody to walk out with you. And she says, Rich, that'd be nice. And so I went up. She's married to the fella that's running the place. And I went up. I'm walking Carrie out to the car. I'll stay out there with her. I've got my trumpet. I'll stay out there with her until you get out there. It was Houston, folks. It's not a real friendly place at 4 o'clock in the morning. There's a lot of bad things that happen. When I was walking out there and standing, when we got out to her car, her and her husband's car, and I sat back and I was asking myself in my mind, why is this beautiful thing in this club walking around in her underwear, and why is there a husband in there that would allow it? Now, there's where I didn't mesh. I did not mesh. My trumpet didn't mesh with it. I didn't mesh with it. The 9-year-old Christian that was growing inside me didn't mesh with it. But there I was, playing in the club. And she looked at me without... all that's in my mind. I didn't voice any of it. I was just standing there. And she came out with a statement. Rich, you're not like us. And I said, really? And she says, no, you're not like us. You're different. You don't act the same as we do. And I thought about it a second, and I said, well, how am I different? She says, You just seem cleaner than us. That was the statement. And I said, Carrie, I'm not cleaner than you. I'm just like you. I just make different decisions. Same adversity, just different decisions. So I'm going to spin this up a second, just one moment. This is that trumpet. If you take a good close look at this trumpet, you'll see how the acid in my hands has worn through. It's worn through the beautiful silver. The adversity of the cellar and many other clubs like it. Worn through. But the horn itself, just like many of us, Lydia there with her sling, me with my busted foot here, and Bob with his hip. All of us have things that happen to us in life. It's the adversity of life comes against us. Now I'm going to give you a little object lesson, I guess, Pastor Charlie would call it. This trumpet, can you hear those valves? That was a chromatic scale from my brain to this trumpet. See that? How fast did that happen? You can hear those valves clicking. That chromatic scale is in my fingers. If I do it slow, you end up down here at low C. Start at high C and come all the way down. And that's it. Why can my brain do that? Because I can't play this trumpet now. We went through that, didn't we? We tried that. Terry Lee, 48 hours, wants to play. We tried. And I said to myself, look, I can't do this, folks. But Terry Lee tried. Hadn't played trumpet for 30 years, just like me. And he got out there and he was playing the trumpet. Okay? The point is, my brain still has everything that I used to do with this trumpet right here. And for whatever reason, because I guess my hands and my fingers, I'm not crippled up with arthritis or whatever, the brain can still go right to those fingers. And I can put this trumpet in this hand and I can grasp it exactly like I used to play it. Precisely. What's the difference? I'll tell you. We talked about there's the good and the bad, and we talked about being in the cellar and playing the trumpet. First, there's the mind's ability, and then the physical ability. What happens in the Bible is you can take this Bible. Your eyes can read it, and your mind can comprehend it. And you can have a full understanding of it. But it has no better use than this trumpet without a note sounding. I can do all of the things of reading it. I can put my mind together with this trumpet. I can do the chromatic scale. But if I haven't practiced, I can't put the embouchure to that horn and make that horn sound crisp and clear and clean like it used to when I was 16, 17, 18, and in my younger 20 years. Can't do it. That's the same thing that happens here. So how do you marry the two? How do you get them back together? Here's another quote from Shelby Foote. Of all the passions of mankind, the love of novelty most rules the mind. In search of this, from realm to realm we roam. Our fleets come loaded with every folly home. Do you get that? Of all the passions of mankind, the love of novelty most rules the mind. What is novelty? Excitement. You're looking for something to spark you. In search of this, from realm to realm we roam, our fleets come loaded with every folly home. The folly for me, I knew I didn't match. This trumpet and I didn't match. In school I played classical. I also played jazz, but I didn't play from the heart in the clubs. So what I guess I want to say to you now, what does Paul have to say about it? Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Press forward to the prize. You know, my wife, she's always constantly talking about thing on a Wednesday night, and she said something very important that came into play with this sermon. She said that I was her spiritual mentor above all. And she also said that I was also her nemesis for critic, being critical. That's not necessarily a good thing, is it? But what that did is that she said to me another time, a couple of days later, she says, the only reason you don't play your trumpet is because you're afraid you can't. And I married it along with what God put on my heart for today. Cleaning that blackboard means, way back when I was 16 years old, and Carrie said, you don't belong here. You're not like us. And I told her, yes, I do belong here. I just make different decisions. And I did make a decision. The decision was I did not belong in clubs. I couldn't do that. So I dropped out of that. But with me, dropped out the playing of the trumpet. This trumpet lost its voice, lost its notes. And so my wife challenged me. So why could I not take this horn, Pastor Charlie, and not put amazing grace to it? Why could I not do that? Why couldn't I not talk about God in my soul through this trumpet? So that's what's going to happen, folks. I'm going to wipe that slate clean. Get a new slate clean. And how do we do that? I got a note here. I wrote a note. And I think maybe it'll apply. It's very simple. It's a hidden scripture. Not many people can find it. But it's hidden. And I call it the antidote. How do we stay away from the folly of life? And the antidote is right here in Psalms 23, the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So if you're going to create in me a new heart, Father, and renew the right spirit in me, then the right spirit that I've become can have a voice. I don't have to associate the club with this horn. I don't have to associate the adversity of life with this horn. It can be associated with what God placed in my heart. One of the first songs I think that I'll ever put into this horn and reclaim it for the Father who gave me the Son is about a ship and a man and a soul. You know what song I'm talking about? I want you to know something. This very moment. I want you to recognize that our Lord and Savior did something for us And he wants us to apply his Father's word to our daily actions. That's all I've ever been about, folks. I'm different. I'm not the same preacher as Pastor Charlie. My stuff is always about application. It's always about personal experience. It's about something that's driven me down, and the Lord has picked me up. And I'm 62 years old, and I've finally come to the conclusion, because my wife wouldn't let it go. I've come to the conclusion that the trumpet is not a problem. The renewal of this is the problem. And on the book that my wife gave me, and it's fitting that this be the first entry in this law, and on this book, listen to what it says. For I know the plans, and I'm going to get emotional on you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. Jeremiah 29:11. Now, folks, I don't know where Carrie is, and I had no idea that I was impacting her life so heavily as a 16-year-old Christian. I didn't think I was acting like a Christian. But there she was, looking at me, while I was dwelling in my head on how can a husband allow her to be where she is, and why would she be where she is? And all the time she's looking at me and wanting what I had. Isn't that something? That's what God does to us. He uses every second of our lives. Each and every second we impact this world. But not just the world. The spirits. And someone says, I want to write my spirit. Just like this person or that person. The person that I see in front of me is making a difference in this world. I want to be like them. Never second guess a single second of your Christian life. And never take your eyes away from the words in this book. And never let your lives ever waste a second in the application from your heart to another human being. Never.
Sure.